Welcome to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, where the discussion will be about issues that affect people on a daily basis. Life's Issues is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Lloyd Rosen.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Life's Issues here on Thursday afternoon. We are going to bring you a great show today. We have two great guests and we will get to them in a few minutes. If you would like to call in and be a participant in the show or just listen to the show, you can do that by calling in at 347-989-1363. Press the number 1 on your phone and we will get you on the air to ask your question. If you are a social person and you like Facebook, go to Tough Talk Radio Network or Lloyd S. Rosen and check us out at those two spots. You can email me a question if you'd like. You do not have to get on the air. You can email me the question. I'll get you the answer. You can then be assured I will get you it as quickly as possible. And you can go to Bowler, that's B as in boy, O-W-L-E-R, 900, at sbcglobal.net. And I will answer all questions sent to that email address. Life's Issues with LloydRosen.com. That is my website for my show. You can go on there, click on the Register to be a Guest tab, fill out the paperwork, pick a date you like to be on, and we will be more than happy to interview you for a book you may be wanting to get out, another subject matter you think is important you'd like to get at, anything you'd like to get on the radio. We will be more than happy to try and get you on. You can go to www.toughtalkradionetwork.com to learn all about the shows we have, and we have a whole list of them with different hosts and different topics. If you are a subscriber to iTunes, all of our shows are recorded, put on iTunes. You can download them and listen to them as much as you'd like, as often as you'd like. Ask questions that may come up. Send to my email address or any of the other hosts' shows that you listen to, you can definitely ask questions that way. As I explained last week on the show, have started life coaching training. I am going to be a life coach. I'm also started working towards a crowdfunding for another book that I'm getting out, and also for my nonprofit foundation. I'm starting a nonprofit to help kids and adults, both in an educational aspect, to teach them about the pitfalls of depression and suicide. And then I'm also a support group to help people who have lost family members or friends to suicide. So feel free to watch for that if you want to donate. So those are some of the things that I'm working on. Hopefully we'll stay in touch and be involved in those as well. I'm looking for people to help me, so please do not hesitate to contact me and converse with me on those subjects. Two of them very close and dear to my heart, so we'll be talking about that in the future. Until then, let's take a break. We'll be right back and with our first guest.
Are you looking to simplify your life and automate your business, but don't want to mess with learning multiple systems to do so? Good. You don't have to. Infusionsoft combines everything your business needs. Let the team at Growth Coaching Systems set up your email, CRM, and e-commerce into a single online system today. It's the easiest way to grow sales and save time. One monthly payment, one software to learn, and have it all on one dashboard. Infusionsoft. Get it now and market and sell like the pros. For more information or to sign up for Infusionsoft, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com/Infusionsoft.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Welcome back to Life's Issues on this Thursday afternoon. We are privileged today to have a young lady on who is involved in a subject that is near and dear to my heart. I have had the opportunity to have readings with such people as John Edward and have had my life turned around by his reading. And hopefully today we'll learn a lot more stuff from my guest. She is a native of the great state of Washington, from Seattle specifically. She's graduated from Western Washington University, which, if I remember correctly, from living there for 21 years, is up in Bellingham in the Mount Vernon area. She has done her graduate work at the University of Washington, as well as being a retired teacher. She is a candidate for a doctorate degree, and she is an ordained spiritual minister to do spiritual counseling along with instruction in healing, regression, past life therapy, and other related spiritual training. She continues to actively participate in courses and researches cutting-edge information to help her clients. Currently, she's challenging Ascended Masters, Archangels, and family members that you may want to get in contact with that have passed over. So without further ado, Marilyn Redman, are you there?
I am here, and thank you for having me on your show.
You are quite welcome. As I said, I have had the chance to sit down one-on-one with John Edwards, so I have had some experience with healing and spiritual stuff. So let's get right into talking about that. You have written a book. You're an author. You have You've written a book about the year 2012. Let's start by asking, what is so important about the year 2012?
Well, the full title of the book is The Real Meaning of 2012, A New Paradigm to Bring Heaven to Earth. And at that particular date and time, December 2012, that particular date is when the energy of the planet Earth changed. And instead of being more negative energy coming to Earth, we finally were receiving more positive energy, which is supporting a lot of spiritual growth for all of us. And it was a real turning point in our lives, because up until then, all the dark forces were being reinforced without having as much light in our lives to bring us out of the darkness and awake us into the love of God. So this was a huge turning point to know that we could change our energy from fear to love, and we can reduce that ego influence so that we don't have to live. I know you mentioned suicide and depression, and I've been there. And we don't have to live in that energy anymore. The loving energy coming to Earth is increasing constantly at this point until that dark energy is no longer sustainable. So we can go open our hearts, and it's safe to be who we are today and let that love out, so we can now manifest love in our lives and for others, which we were afraid to do before. Our culture conditioned us to staying in fear and not being open. So it was a very big turning point in the energy of the planet.
So when everybody was talking about December 12, 2012, and how the world was going to end at that time, it wasn't so much the world was going to physically end at that time. It was the fact that the energy was going to change.
That's exactly right. The negative energy of third dimensional, which is, you said you'd read my book, and I talk about third dimension, is right and wrong, good and bad, judgment, criticism, all those things that have kept us down in bondage to the material world is being obliterated by the light. As the more energy comes in, we can be released from that bondage and that darkness and moving into the sunlight of God today. So it was a really important date, which a lot of people, when, if you understood spiritually, welcomed it joyfully because it meant that we were going to be moving into the unconditional love and the 1,000 years of peace described in the Bible.
Now, it's been a year and a half, per se, since that date in 2012. You as a person who studies this stuff and works with it day in and day out, would you say that the change has occurred, that the energy level and type of energy that is on the planet today is different than pre-December 2012?
Definitely, it has changed. Now, some people look for real big changes that are really in your face, but the way the universe works, it's very gradual. We have evolved over the last 2,000 years to get to this place. So you see, it hasn't happened overnight.
and that's what
Jesus came to proclaim was love. And so now that we're going to actually be able to live it and experience it and be our existence, this is a joyous time. And we can let the past leave of all the hurts and the harms and move out of that third dimensional judgment and criticism and darkness that brought along depression and brought along, in my case, medications actually perpetuated my suicidal thinking, I understand today. I already had a death wish from a childhood. But I've actually cleaned out that energy over Christmas. I was down with pneumonia for several months. And it was actually the dark energy leaving my system so that I could replace it with the light of the truth and the reality of who I am today. And that reality is inside. So when we look inside to find the kingdom of God inside, then we find the truth of who we are and find reality.
No, absolutely true. I couldn't have said it better myself. Energy is mentioned often in your book. I know every page, as I turned it, that was the center of the book was energy and how you can use it and how it's going to change and be better and stuff like that. So how does that apply to our consciousness? How does the energy mentioned in your book apply to the consciousness?
Well, you've hit the nail on the head because consciousness is energy. That's the spirit within us. There's different words that are synonymous. And so all these words, sometimes people look at them separately and don't realize that it depends on what your viewpoint is, what term you use. So your consciousness is inside. It's where you're coming from, your point of view, your perspective. And if you have a lot of fear, if you're a fear-based person, you have a lower consciousness. And this is what the Jacob's Ladder was all about, was to climb that consciousness, climb the stairs. And in my book, there's a staircase. Climb the stairs up into a higher consciousness of love, from fear into love. We become a love-based person. And my next book coming out, Paradigm Busters, will actually be the how-to step-by-step actually achieve that, raising your energy or your consciousness into love, into the unconditional love that Christ had. Jesus Christed himself by changing his consciousness. And we can do it too. He came to show that we all could do it. He said in the Bible, you can do this and more. So we can raise our energy, our consciousness into that love, unconditional love. It's possible, and I'm in the process of doing it. People on the spiritual path, that's usually our goal, or their goal is to move out of the old past history of hurts and wounds and whatever brought about the depressions and the painful life that we had. You know, I was literally a Cinderella, and I was raised in domestic violence and abuse, and I married into a domestic violent marriage and of 30 years with rape. So I know what the dark side's all about. That's hell. And now we can bring our consciousness into heaven on earth. And this is a beautiful message I hope everybody hears.
And I must say that knowing where you reside, you're about in heaven as far as any place else on earth as I know it. So that's a pretty good place to be. There's three basic blocks to a better life. What are they?
Well, one of them is the fear. And we have been so... That comes from our ego. And ego, some people call it edging God out. So that blocks us if we're not cooperating and merging with God. If we're separated from God, that's definitely a block to our consciousness connection with a higher energy of God's love. And detaching from all those things around us, hanging on to third dimensional material items. You know, some people really, there's a show on television recently called Shark Tank, and this guy says it's all about money. Well, if that's his God, I hope that he's happy. But, you know, those kind of things are not is what's going to keep me in a happy state today. It's what's inside that counts. It's not the material items and that are in our lives. That isn't who we are. It's the essence of our consciousness is who we are. And if we're honest with ourselves, if we're totally honest, then we have a connection with that higher consciousness. If we're lying to ourselves, that's, my mother was mentally ill, and I discovered that the more you lie to yourself, the more mentally ill you are. So we can come out of mental illness. I've done that too. So I know that it's honesty is still the best policy.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. If you're not honest with yourself, you can't be honest with other people. So honesty starts from within.
Exactly. It's an inside job.
Yes, it is. Well put. Now, this is in relationships, achieving and wishes actually work against us, is what I read in your book. How is that possible?
Wishes? You said something about being in wishes. I guess I don't understand. Would you say it again for me, please?
How can relationships, achieving, and wishes actually work against us?
Well, so many people, you know, if you're wishing for something, you're in your ego, you're in your brain. And you're not going to have a relationship if you're coming from ego, because you're coming to defend yourself and be right, and you have to have all the answers. And so that's not for a very good relationship. It actually tears you apart. So if you get out of your head and into your heart, you don't have wishes anymore. You allow God to run the show. You let God come in and put the pieces together the way they need to come together. That's called faith. And so to let others have their own identity and to let others have their own expression of who they are, instead of being bullied and controlling others, you're going to have a much better relationship. Relationships need to be without ego. When you have love in your heart, you come together in harmony. And I've been in that kind of relationship now for 14 years, and it's like night and day compared to domestic violence. And we don't have those problems that I had in years prior, because neither one of us has a desire to run the show or be right. You know, today I've learned I'd rather be happy than right.
Yeah, there's some truth to that, too, because I've both been unhappy and I've been right, and definitely being unhappy is not a place that I would really want to be anymore. So,
many people don't understand that life can be a passive-aggressive game, and that comes from your head or your ego. So it doesn't matter if you're trying to run the relationship overtly, which is what people see in domestic violence, that one person is definitely the one that takes advantage of the other person. But the person that's passive is playing the game just as well. So you have to come into the center where it's win-win. And until you do that, it is a game and it's not a relationship.
And I think I know the answer to this question is we can achieve a higher consciousness without really even trying, as long as we get rid of the ego and get rid of all physical human issues and let God into our life. Is that correct?
Yes, our life is a big let go and let God journey. And it's you kind of minimize the letting go of your ego. I've been working on it for 30 years on a daily process, and to me it hasn't been that easy. Sometimes it's kind of having to face the truth about who and what I'm about in the past and make it right today. You know, facing the truth sometimes can be a very mind-bind. It can really throw you, and it's not always a fun place to be. But afterwards, when you come through that, you're in such relief and such freedom. It's worth it. But, you know, it's not an easy process. And this is called growing up and becoming mature. And an adult, becoming an adult is not for sissies.
No, I you know, I've learned that. I know I sound a lot younger than I am, but I've been through life's little trials and tribulations, and I absolutely agree that maturity is not weak at heart. But having said that, how do you achieve moving into the moment and leave your history, because your history, my history, it sounds like it's not something we want to revisit, so how do we leave it behind, the drama and all that? How do we just...
Well, that's a really good question, because there's two things to do, basically. And my next book goes through it in great, great detail. Paradigm Busters Reveal the Real You goes through and step by step actually shows you how. What we're really doing is we're letting go of the past by forgiving and accepting that we wrote that script and those people played those parts for us to learn to change our energy from fear to love and unconditional love and compassion. And those were the energies we needed to change. We came in here to do that. And when we accept that that's what our lesson in life is, take the emotion out of it and just say, okay, what did I learn from this? What is the gift that I can get from learning and changing into accepting the other person just as the way they are? Maybe they're not the way I want them to be, but they're being themselves. It just isn't what I want. And let them have that reality of their own. So as we release the angers and the guilt, the fear, the shame, and we itemize them and give them to God, however, that process, I know several good processes, and replace it with His love and grace, we literally transform the energy from the dark lower consciousness into, it raises up into a higher consciousness. And so as we're releasing the past, which is where the pain and our, in fact, our medical problems come from the past, and we move into the now, we're in the presence of God. So for the last year, I've been constantly reminding myself throughout the day and even night when I wake up, I am in joy, I am in gratitude, I am in the presence of God. Now, when you do this, you move immediately into being in reality, and that's all there is. There is no past. The past actually fades away as if it didn't even exist because what you focus on grows. And so when you're in the presence of God, you have perfect health, you are happy, harmonious, you have abundance and prosperity, there's no illness, you don't grow old. All of these things that society has taught us is not necessary if we move our consciousness into that unconditional love. Loving our, it's right in the Bible, if you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and then you can love yourself as your neighbor, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, then all you're doing is sharing. And that's reality. We're here to be one together in a great unity and cooperate with each other.
Now, we've been talking about ego, and from what I'm getting, from what you're saying, ego is a negative aspect of our personality. Am I wrong in that process?
It depends on if it's been exaggerated, and then most people have been so conditioned with fear from television, violence, news, radio, video games, whatever, medicine especially, especially if you're taking prescriptions, you're separated from God. You cannot have that connection. It's a drug. It's poison. So if your ego was originally and still is your identity inside, but if you're fearful, you want to protect yourself, and it expands into a bigger-than-life understanding, trying to protect the person. This is why you close down actually into this little smaller person trying to defend yourself. And so to protect yourself, some people develop a huge arrogance. Some people develop a less than not worthy, I have no value type of attitude. And both of these are extremes of the ego. And they're defense mechanisms to try to keep yourself safe. And if you can release those different elements through counseling or meditation into changing the energy, you don't have to defend yourself. Being filled with love is the best defense you can have. I discovered husband tried to make mincemeat out of me one night. When I sent, God literally intervened, stop time, told me to pray for him. When I said, God forgive him for he knows not what he does, he never touched me again. So when we We develop the ability to send love to everybody, no matter what the situation. That's the safest place to be, and we don't have to shut down from the sunlight of God. We are totally surrounded and filled with love, and we aren't going to be hurt.
That you just verbally over the phone showed us the power and strength in God, just by saying what you said, and He never laid a hand on you again. That shows some serious, powerful God that we believe in. That's for sure.
Being a believer out of me, it happened right in front of my eyes. The story has been published twice, and it's on my website.
I'll have to look that up because I'd like to read the rest of that. And so we've discussed ego in terms of it being something that is not good for us, but everybody has ego. So what does it actually teach us?
Well, when you reduce the influence of the ego to be right-sized, then you're not better than anybody. You still have an ego, but you're not better than anybody else. You're not pushing your way through life trying to use others. You see, that's a very selfish way to live. And so you're sharing and enjoying and having a happy life and contributing to life. So when you are in neutral, when you're centered with God in your life, instead of overreacting in one extreme and the pendulum swings to the extreme of the other side, you're overreacting and you go through the center of life. And that, when you're in the center, the ego is then in its right size. It's not inflated and trying to do all these things to protect you because you're feeling safe. You don't need to be. God protects us. God is the safest place to be. So to reduce the influence of the exaggerated ego is important, but we don't lose our ego. We just put it into right size so we have a personality that we are equal with all people and that we are children of God and loved and taken care of, and God will, you know, God's grace is sufficient.
And that's something that has to be learned, and a lot of people in today's society unfortunately don't learn that. They continue to don't, because of the size of their ego, they don't believe they need God in their life.
Well, that's exactly right. They're listening to their head and they haven't gotten into their hearts. I was at a retreat this last week and helping people to do change, changing this energy. And this one lady has a dog, medical dog, for helping her, and she couldn't open her heart up just to love the dog. And so I worked with her and worked with her and worked with her, trying to reinforce with her how loved she is and how safe it is to open her heart. And when we do, oh, she became a different person overnight.
Yeah, I mean, people just generally need something to show them that they can achieve what they're trying to achieve. But on that note, I'm going to have you give my listeners information as to where they can find Marilyn Redmond. Your website, your books, and anything else you'd like to share with my audience. And then we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
I'd like to share my website is angelicasgifts.com. Angelica is one of my angels, and she gives me many spiritual gifts to help people in counseling and the writing and speaking. I do a lot of lectures and workshops. And whenever I can help somebody, that's fine. You can get me through my website at angelicasgifts.com. And I have several e-books and several books on Amazon.com. My first book, Roses Have Thorns, shares my story of how I came to become so spiritual-oriented. And my book that we're talking about today is The Real Meaning of 2012, which is really reducing the ego in our lives and letting that love of God take over. And then I also have a lot of YouTubes if you're interested in watching videos. I have lectures on how to empower yourself, or if you are in violent situations, how to handle that. I have holistic health lectures and lots of interviews about this book. So if you want to find out more about me, you can just check YouTube. And my blog is Marilyn Redmond Books. blogspot.com, MarilynRedmondBooks.blogspot.com, and I constantly am putting up current articles about spiritual ways to look at our society, of how things need to come and be improved, or how we can look at our lives so that we can actually have better results. I've been very interested lately. They're trying to force vaccinations on everybody, which is, means drug them. And, of course, then you do not have a contact with God when you have poison in your system. We need to purify. That's why organic food is important rather than GMOs. So we want to have our lives be healthy. And so I try to keep articles on my blog constantly that bring people up to date with some of that kind of information. And you can always Google me at Marilyn Redmond, and many of these things, or all of them actually, will come up, and you can check out those different sources.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and being my guest for the half hour. I wish we had some more time, and maybe at another time we will get further into some of the other things that you do. But I definitely appreciate you coming on and spending part of your Thursday with me.
Well, I appreciate you asking me and having me. It's been a lovely time, and thank you so much.
Well, you're quite welcome, and have a great afternoon. I know it's still morning there, so have a great afternoon.
Well, you have a great afternoon yourself, and thank you again.
All right. Take care, Marilyn.
You too.
All righty. Bye-bye. That was Marilyn Redmond, and she has written a book about December 2012 and how the world changed on that day. Although it didn't end, it definitely did change. We'll be right back after these messages with my second guest.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen. And my second guest is a gentleman who is a little bit of everything, actually. He's a life coach. He's a professional speaker. He's got his own radio talk show. He's an author, and he's a personal development specialist. He has been helping communities, organizations, and individuals regain their sense of power, control, and self-esteem since 1978. His particular interests have covered a wide array of fields. He has served the community as a counselor in the fields of mental health, substance abuse, and previously incarcerated. He has served as a trainer, creating a teen educators model, mentoring and training adolescents in the areas of conflict resolution, listening and communication skills, drug recovery, peer counseling techniques, and establishing support groups. Without further ado, I'd like to bring in Nassim Rashid. Nassim, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing today? And thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. I'm doing well myself. It's good to have you on. I know that we had you supposedly scheduled for back in February, and something happened where we couldn't get you on, but I'm glad to have you on now. So
yes.
Welcome. Mm-hmm. My first question is basically, you deal with a lot of people's pasts, and mm-hmm. I know I have a past that is worth talking about, but that's what we're not here for. Can we change our past?
Well, you know, you can't change the actual past, but then again, you can, because we have our great gift, a divine gift called our imagination. And if there's a way, and there is a way, for you to change the feelings you have from the past, you see, there is a way that you can change the past, because after all, if your past is locked in on those feelings, and those feelings are changed, well, you have, on a certain level, changed your past. You can do that. And I've developed, well, I didn't do it, it came to me, as to how we can actually go back in time and actually recreate some scenarios. Because once you change the feelings and you change some of the things that happened back there, they no longer become a present burden on you and no longer become a present obstacle for your future, present, and future endeavors.
Mm-hmm. And most of the past, obviously, would be negative, and once you change it to a positive existence in the here and now, most people, including myself, would want to rid themselves of that negativity from the past. So that's the gimme that most people would want to change the past and transform what has happened in the past to something that can help them in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So we have memories that hurt and betrayal. How do we deal with those?
Well, you know, you have to, first of all, you know, you first have to identify. You always have to acknowledge what is there, you know, and that's always first, even going through a addiction recovery. You know, you have to acknowledge what is there. And so if something is a real problem for you, you first identify that. You say, okay, all right, well, say, for instance, pick some. Say, for instance, you had a sister who just belittled you and berated you, made you feel, you know, less than human, you know, emotional abuse. She might have even done some things physically to you, and because she was maybe more vocal and she was overachiever, she gained the attention of her parents, and so her parents thought she would never do things like that. Not cute little Susie. She would never do things like that. So little Bobby, you know, you're just little, you know, annoyed, but she's your big sister. She would never do anything like that to you. So say when she did this to you, and so you have this on you. It bothers you. It directs your self-esteem, self-worth. You might have suicidal feelings, and so you grow up with all this weight on you, and so you are less likely to achieve in school, less likely to have healthy marriages, relationships, less likely to be the best on your job, or less likely to even have a really solid future ideals for yourself, you know, and ambitions, and the optimism is gone. So that's pretty major. If you can turn that around, that could make your life entirely different. And yeah, for sure. So, yes. So when we look at that, it's okay, all right, now, how do we alter that? You know, and the person, client, it's actually happened, actually, more than one occasion. The client was like, hey, it's major. You know, she's still alive. I'm 45 years old now. She's still a bother. You know, and we have independent lives, and every time I do talk to her, she still talks to me like I'm a little kid under her thumb or something. You know, I can't stand her. I can't stand her. I said, okay, all right, first of all, we have to calm down, all right? Realize that you have a divine gift. You have a God-given gift of change. You have a gift of recreating your life. God has given you this ability to do that. You can recreate your life all over again. So realize that it is possible to do that, all right? And you have to go into some basic self-esteem, because even in my book, Reconnected, I have the idea of going back, or the process of going back in time and making those changes, is really the last chapter. It really first starts with some present-day personal growth areas. So a person like this would come to me. I wouldn't talk about how we go in the past and change. I would talk about how we make you feel okay and validate them as a worthwhile contributing human being now. Do that first. Let's kind of put Susie on the shelf for a little bit right now. Let's deal with Bobby's present-day situation. Now, I found sometimes, you know, there have been some times where when you actually build a person up and they feel great about themselves, they no longer have that reason to even deal with that, because it's taken care of by itself. And if it is, fine. It's okay, you know. But I think that, you know, even myself, I think it's still fun to go back there and have fun with your little child stuff and do some things, because it's a wonderful kind of a adventure to go through.
I'm kind of speechless here, because I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm thinking back about my childhood and how I was treated when I was a child and how I'm treated now. And I got some of my relatives are still, when I meet up with them at weddings or affairs, they're still talking to me as if I'm that, you know, 15-year-old or 16-year-old. So, saying some people have to get away from that and not let it bother them. Unfortunately, I'm one of those people who has to get away from it, because it still does bother me. But now, you personally, let's talk about your childhood. You had childhood filled with suicidal fantasies from emotional neglect and emotional bullying from family members, which totally is hard for me to fathom that a family member would bully you. And then you had a drug abuse in your adolescent years, to drug dealing, to suicide attempt, to drug addiction, to homelessness. And then you turned around and you transformed your life. You became a Muslim, and you completed a 12-step program to conflict resolution mediator. What was it that pulled you up out of the gutter in terms of making yourself think enough of yourself to want to turn spiritually to being a Muslim and making your life better instead of taking your life?
Well, you know, the one word comes to mind is control. When I was a kid, I was being controlled. I was being controlled by what I was told I was or was not, and I had no control over myself. I wasn't even living in an environment where it was okay to express yourself. And even talk about how you really felt. So I was controlled. So when I was actually involved in substance abuse, the drug was controlling me. I didn't know that, because since I had a nice-sized inventory, I never ran out. So therefore, I never felt a withdrawal symptoms or anything like that. Now, it was when I didn't have anything during some federal drug busts. That's when I started getting nervous, kind of beginning signs of withdrawal, nervous. I said, wait a minute. Is this controlling me? Am I still under something else, someone else's control? I said, oh, no. Because I was a rebel. I was kind of outspoken, and I was kind of, I would kind of curse people out loud. I was a rebel during that period of time. And it was a reaction to my childhood where I didn't have a voice. So I was determined not to have anybody or anything control me. Here I am smoking and snorting, and the drugs are controlling me. I was so mad with myself, for allowing anything to control me again. I said, wait a minute, never, never, never again. I said, okay, I'm done. I went right into a 12-step program. I said, I'm not going to have anything. Nothing controlled me again. So I went through that. And so when I went through that, and I started discovering that because I had what's called an X factor for addiction, I have to attach myself onto something. And so it became God. And so I switched everything. Instead of being self-oriented, having a God-oriented life. And so I did that. So then I started looking at universal love. I started looking at how I can now help people, how I can give back, how I can help improve someone else's life through my example and through my honest interaction with them. And I wanted to, not even think about my benefit. I wanted to help other people. I wanted to help young people. I wanted to give young people tools so they can help themselves, help other young people. I wanted to make sure and give folks the idea that God loves them, has a passion and purpose He's implanted in them, and they're here to spread love and spread the message of hope and promise.
Now, did you the 12-step program, was it an outpatient or was it an inpatient thing?
It was outpatient. It was outpatient.
Oh, okay.
And let me
okay.
tell you, I was a rare person. So I did it on my own, and that's something I'd never even recommend to people. I say, don't even do that. But I was so driven to go through it. I was so driven. I did it completely on my own.
Yeah, the reason I was asking that particular question was because if you were an inpatient at a rehab center, then, again, until you completed the program, they had control of you, telling you to go to, you know, counseling sessions and other things. So you would still have been under control of somebody. And
right.
and I get it. I get
right.
what you're saying, because I'm that rebel too, and I did some things after I thought I had the ropes taken off of me that made me mm-hmm. realize that there was only one person that has control of you, and that's the man upstairs, which is something mm-hmm. you're absolutely correct about. So you can't, and you have to, and the sad part about it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the sad part about it is that people who are parents don't even really get it to be able to raise their kids the right way, so their kids end up having the burdens of, as they say in the Bible, the sins of the mother and the father get passed down to the kids.
Right.
And
right.
so the kids just don't have, in my idea, okay, and I don't mean to sound mm-hmm. negative, but
sure.
the kids, especially in today's society, don't stand a chance from the get-go. Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you're right, because I'm telling you, see, wounded children come from wounded parents. They didn't have the tools because they were never taught the tools or given the tools themselves. You know, here they are, you know, trying to help someone run a race and they only have one leg. You know?
Yeah, and what's fascinating for me is I had the opportunity, my dad passed away in 1997, and I never really got a chance to talk with him because I was living in Seattle and he was in New Jersey until
sure,
last summer. I had an opportunity to sit down with his brother, my uncle, and he filled in all the holes for me, and I got a perfect picture as to why my father raised me the way he did.
Wow.
And I don't know how many people have the ability to do that, but I was very thankful, and it made me understand. It made me very much less upset, annoyed, whatever word you want, whatever adjective you want to use, because now my father and I, even though he's passed on, he and I have a much better relationship because we're able to talk with each other, not in the physical world, but from the physical world to the other side. And I know that
sure,
him
sure,
being,
understand, man.
And him on the other side is not the same person who was here on this earth. So it makes it a lot easier
mm-hmm,
for
mm-hmm.
me, you know. And he's told me things that I know aren't coming necessarily from the man I knew down here. So
right.
I'm totally convinced that you have, and you said something earlier, which I want to just restate because I totally agree with it.
Sure.
Because I'm in training right now to become a life coach, and the biggest thing for mm-hmm. me that I'm learning in life coach training is the fact that life, and I just wrote a blog last night about it, life is not set in stone. You have the ability to change your life and the course of your life, number one, as many times as you want, and whenever you want, and you should never feel like you're subject to being in the picture frame that you think you may be in at the moment.
That's right. And that's right. That's right. I want to mention something that you said earlier about your father there. It's very important to understand what their intent was, because when you're growing up seeing chaos and confusion and abuse, you might think that they mean you no good. They want to harm. They don't love you, kind of thing, you know. And then you find out later on that they really had no ill intent. They really did love you. They didn't know how to show it. They didn't know how to demonstrate that love. You See, now that's good for one level. That takes care of the burden of ill intent. But still, if a child does not get certain things at a certain time, it's still an emotional void in their life that's got to be filled. So all because a parent has no ill intent doesn't mean that there weren't still problems injected onto the child, and the child didn't receive those hurts. So that's very important to understand that. Because I've gone there with my mother, for instance, and she keeps saying that, you know, that she did the best she could. And I said, Mom, I know you did. She do things that I think that is ill intent. I know you did the best you can. I didn't get certain things that, you know, you can't get around that. I didn't get certain things. So you can apologize all day and night. It's not going to fill the void because you can't do that. I got to do it myself. But believe me, I have no problem with you, Mom. It's okay. You had no idea what you were doing, and you just did the best you could. And so it's okay, you know. But some kind of way, parents, my parents, my mother, thinks that I'm still blaming her and hold her at fault, and I don't at all. It's just that, you know, I'm not going to say things are a certain rosy way. They weren't rosy. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do. Matter of fact, I see my mom. My mom is getting ready to turn 86, and I see my mother. And after I got healthy, because I suffered with depression and had suicidal tendencies myself, after I got healthy, I realized, like you said, they did the best job possible that they could have done. And I looked at her and kept her in a different light than I did when I was growing up as a adolescent child who thought I knew everything
sure.
that could change the world
sure.
and stuff like that. Now, my question to you is, at what age do you think a child has I don't want to say the right, but has to take the ability upon themselves to fill that void that your parents didn't fill for you when you were growing up? At what point do you stop saying, okay, you didn't give me it, you can't give me it, you're not going to give it to me, I got to get it myself?
Well, you know, the typical age is adolescence. When the whole idea of puberty is you bursting out of that bubble of infancy and childhood into the beginning of adulthood. Matter of fact, they have different parts of the world, rites of passage programs that start puberty, where they're preparing their girl to be a woman and preparing their boy to be a man. And that's the time when they can express themselves and they can assert their rights and they can stand for themselves. So typically, culturally, it starts in puberty. In this country here, you know, in the U.S., it's usually my mid-teens, you know, but then again, it's different people. Because, see, we come to a world with different, emotional accelerators.
That's a good way to put it.
Some go faster, some are a little slower. So it depends on how we were made up and what we were given when we came out of the womb, you know. But typically, somewhere in the adolescence period is our time for expression.
Right. I just realized we're running short on time. So let me have you give my listeners the information where they can find you, where they can find Reconnected, and be in touch with you if they'd like to be.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yes. My website, www.cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com. My email, I would love to hear from folks out there. nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. And the book is Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. 14 chapters, 412 pages. And it starts with forgiveness. You got to start there. And it's all about working on yourself first. A lot of folks want to know, how can I change the past? Well, first, let's look at the person in the mirror right now. Let's look at kind of changing with the person we see when we look in that mirror. Let's start there. And eventually we'll get to that point. You know, that'll be fun. Right now, I've got to start with that first, that image we see in that mirror. A lot of people hate that image. So we start there. That's how we do that.
And like the old Chinese proverb says, to take a journey of 100 miles, you got to start with the first step. And that's the same thing with what you're saying. You got to take that first step and be willing to want to change. So,
absolutely.
Nassim, I really appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. maybe we can touch base at another time and continue this conversation, because I think that you're a wealth of information. I think everybody should get out there and get your book. I think it'll be quite helpful for them. And you have a great rest of your Thursday.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time. I want everybody to tune in to themselves. You'll find a wealth of information inside. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You do.
That was bye-bye now. That was Nassim Rashid. He has written a book called Reconnected, and he's a life coach, professional speaker, and so forth. We'll be right back after these messages.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Welcome back to Life's Issues on this Thursday afternoon. We just have a minute left, so I would just like to thank my guests, Marilyn Redmond and Nassim Rashid, for being my guests today. And remember, you are only one person in this world, but you may be the world to that one person who you are talking to at that moment who needs somebody to talk to. So remember to pay attention to who you're talking to and what you're saying to them, because you could make a total change in someone's life. So until next time, have a great rest of your day, have a great weekend, and we'll see you soon. Take care.
You have been listening to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.